those of you watching on the bunker cam, I got tired of the greenish hue here in the bunker. It was depressing me, so I've gone to basic bunker blue. For those of you watching on the bunker cam, welcome, and to all of you listening, I greet you from my bunker in South America, and I am praying for all of you and for myself, because I'm selfish that way, that God will be giving us more and more a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of Him, because this is going to stabilize us in trying times. Now I'm going to read you some passages from Thessalonians. These two books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, are really closely related to the coming days of indignation, because the Thessalonians found themselves under great duress. They were under trial. They were being persecuted for their faith. And we find ourselves really not in as bad a shape as them yet, but the days are coming, thus saith the Lord, when great persecution will be coming upon those who name the name of God, which should tell you that the organization today known as Christianity is not they're not the people of God, because they're not suffering persecution. It's a cult religion. It's a pop religion. And it has nothing to do with the truth. In fact, it rejects the truth at every turn. Those of you who have attempted to take the truth of the greatness of God, of the salvation and the reconciliation of the universe to anyone in organized religion, they hate that message. Therefore, by extension, they hate God, because God has sent you to be a minister of the conciliation, how that God was in Christ conciliating the world to Himself. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's start with verse 9 as I try to maneuver my Bible around here in the bunker. Now, Paul says to the Thessalonians that they turned back to God from idols. I recommend this to anyone. Turn back to God from idols. To be slaving for the living and true God. Spoke yesterday of a slave of Christ. And if you're going to be slaving, why not slave for Christ? For God and Christ. This is most worthwhile, and it actually leads to a more relaxing life when you realize that someone besides yourself is in control. And Paul says then, slave for the true God. I want you to be slaving for the true God and to be waiting for His Son out of the heavens. I love this specific, clear language here from our apostle. Waiting for His Son out of the heavens. Where is He now? In the heavens. Where is Satan? In the heavens. The Son, Jesus Christ, and Satan are both in heaven. Don't you think there are opposing forces? Those are opposing forces. The Son and Satan. And that's where we're going. But don't be scared, because we will have the mind of Christ. We will be immortal at the time, and we will be able to bear, not only bear, but to conquer and to bring this message of conciliation to beings that have never heard of it. And we're going to bring the universe back into subjection to God. So he wants the saints of Thessalonica, Paul does, to be waiting for His Son out of heaven, whom He rouses from among the dead. Christ is always presented as the first fruit. Christ is the guarantee that we shall be roused from among the dead. Resurrection's a pretty good trick. Can God do it? Well, He did it with the inaugurator and perfecter of our faith. And He's the test case, if you will, and so He's going to do it with us. Jesus, our rescuer, listen to this, verse 10, go to it yourself, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, our rescuer out of the coming indignation. There is a coming indignation. God is our rescuer out of it. Jesus Christ is our rescuer out of it. He has the full authority of God when He comes to deliver us out of this wicked eon into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Oh, I should get to that in 2 Corinthians. Hang on, I'm going to come back to this. 2 Corinthians 5, this is pretty good. We're talking about kingdoms, world kingdoms, earthly kingdoms. Well, God has a kingdom too, and it's called the kingdom of the Son of His love. And it's in 2 Corinthians, I thought it was in chapter 5. Conciliated to Him and treating Him. No, I can't find it. Delivers us into the kingdom. Where is that? All right, I'm going to look that up, and tomorrow I'm going to have that for you. The kingdom of the Son of His love. Let me write that down. Because even as, I think it's in, wait a minute, 1 Corinthians 10 or 11? Hang on. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 11. Forget about it. I'm going to find it. Even as Satan now is the god of this eon, above that, God is operating, and we can be in spirit now, in spirit, in thought, in realization, not actually, delivered into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And we can operate, this sounds hokey what I'm about to say, but we can operate in a bubble of assurance and of peace. And it's as though we're surrounded by a shield and these arrows, these fiery arrows of Satan, of fear, of foreboding, come flying in at us, but they bounce off the bubble we live in. They bounce off the shield of Christ and God. That's what I'm into. All right, I'll have that for you tomorrow, the kingdom of the Son of His love. I'll have that verse reference. Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 13, because we're getting information here about these times that we're living in. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 6. Boy, this would be a good time to have my cigar. I could puff on it while I look for this passage, but you know that I do not smoke my cigar until Friday. Paul is speaking of the man of lawlessness. Let's start with verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians 2. This is all introductory. Thank you for your patience, those who want me to jump right into a verse-by-verse dissection of Revelation. We're laying groundwork for your peace. Now, we are asking you, brethren, for the sake of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your mind. This is applicable today, is it not? It's easy to be shaken. Paul says, I don't want you to be quickly shaken in your mind, from your mind, that is the mind that is settled on Christ and God, nor yet be alarmed, either through spirit or through word or through an epistle as through us. That is, don't believe these false letters coming out with my name forged upon them. Don't be thinking that the day of the Lord is present. You see, we've been taught today that the day of the Lord is present. Jesus is now somehow running the world through his saints, through the influence of spirit-influenced people. And they think, they're trying to twist this to be the kingdom of God. If you think that what we're living in now is the kingdom of God, and that the day of the Lord is present, the day of the Lord, the thousand years is present, or even that the tribulation is now here. I've heard teaching that we're now in the tribulation. Buddy, when we're in the tribulation, you won't have to sit around wondering if we're in the tribulation. Nobody's going to have to guess. Are we in the tribulation? No, the locusts banging against your window will tell you. The sun being darkened at noon will tell you. A third of the earth's inhabitants being killed by supernatural beings, that will tell you you're in the tribulation, okay? And you won't have to wonder if the day of the Lord is here. The day of the Lord is not a bunch of enlightened saints influencing the world through their smiles and handing out tracts downtown Boston or Toronto or New York or Sao Paulo. It's not going to be that. It's going to be the Lord appearing as lightning and setting up his kingdom in Jerusalem with a lot of cool dead people living again, like David and the 12 apostles. You're going to know it. So don't think that it's come yet and you've somehow missed it. No one should be deluding you. Preterism is a delusion, and I would not have anyone be deluding you on this point or by any method. For should not the apostasy be coming first? And Paul prophesied that the apostasy would be getting worse and worse. Apostasy means from stand. The world can't apostatize, because the only way you can apostatize is if you've once held truth and you've drawn away from truth. World can't do that. So only believers, only the church can do that. And the church has apostatized. If you hear pounding, it means we have a crew reinforcing the bunker here. We only have 3 inches of concrete, 3 feet of concrete, I'm sorry, and we're adding another foot of concrete to the bunker. So that's the pounding in the background. I apologize for that. So the apostasy is going to be coming first, and the man of lawlessness is going to be unveiled, the son of destruction. He's going to be inhabited by Satan himself. Won't that be exciting? Who is opposing and lifting himself up over everyone termed a god or an object of veneration. So that he is seated in the temple of God. That doesn't exist yet. The temple of God doesn't exist yet. The false temple. But it will. demonstrating that he himself is God. This is going to happen at the middle, the precise middle of the last 7 years that God has reserved to complete his work with Israel, to put his law in their hearts and bring them into the kingdom. See, this is all related to Revelation, so don't panic. Don't panic. I'm on it, okay? Don't worry about it. Don't be alarmed or quickly shaken from your mind, okay? Do you not remember that still being with you, I told you these things? And now you are aware what is detaining him. What is detaining the man of lawlessness? To be unveiled in his own eras, in his own eras. It wasn't that era in which Paul lived that was designed to unveil the lawless one in its own eras. Paul knew the era was coming. For the secret of lawlessness is already operating. This is verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians 2. And again, you've heard me teach the secret of lawlessness. This is a secret. I'm giving you a secret today from my bunker. Is that lawlessness is now disguised as righteousness. That's the secret of lawlessness. The secret of lawlessness is that it's perfumed, it's pious, it's dressed in holy garb, it names the name of Christ, and it puts a cross around his neck. That is the secret of lawlessness. It's a secret because it looks like righteousness, but it's not. It's lawlessness. And that's already operating. It was operating in Paul's day, and it's more insidious today. Only when the present detainer may be coming out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one, whom the Lord will dispatch, that is kill, that is get rid of, by the spirit of his mouth, and will discard by the advent of his presence. Now, I'm going to start tomorrow with verse 9 of this passage, because we're going to see the strong operation of deception that's going to be coming on the world, and how you can be delivered from it.